never rests.
Welcome in. It's the Georgia Show here on your Sunday evening on the Dogs HQ YouTube channel. Thank you so much for tuning in. A lot to get to this evening, but before we dive into all of it, we got to give a shout out to our friends at American Pride Bank. If you're looking for localized banking solutions, whether it's small business loans, personal banking, anything of that nature, get with American Pride Bank. They are connecting you with decision makers at every level along the way. So whether it's searching for something to expand your small business, whether you're looking for a personal loan, whether you're looking for an opportunity, just open up a new checking account. American Pride Bank got you covered on all fronts, and you're working with the people who make those calls every step of the way. Athens, Alpharetta, online at AmericanPride.bank. You can check them out there, and we do appreciate them being partners. They are member FDIC. And an equal opportunity lender. Rusty, Georgia Show is here. And normally, I think we would be kicking off an episode like this on a weekend like this, talking, diving right into official visits. And we're going to get there. I promise you that. But it's kind of been a big week. Been some big stuff happen. And I think we got to dive in on that first, because that is all the buzz in the world of college football right now. The House settlement has been reached, and I'm going to present here real quick. I had something pulled up from Greg Sankey, but it had some of the details in it, so I wanted to get those up on the screen for those watching at home. So beginning July 1st, schools will be able to share $20.5 million with athletes. Football is expected to receive 75% of that. Men's basketball, 15%. Women's basketball, 5%. Remainder of sports, 5%. Okay. The amount shared in revenue will increase annually. And then also, perhaps the most interesting part of this becomes the NIL piece. And that will be a clearinghouse that will be established and run through Deloitte. Deloitte knows how to make money, and they know how to tell people how to spend that money too. So they're partnered with the right people for this. Rusty, this feels like, on its surface, a chance to bring something back to the sport that we've been missing, which is a bit of a guardrail. This feels like an opportunity for them to kind of have some restrictions, have some ability to say, okay, here's what we're going to do. You can't just be spending money willy-nilly. I'm curious. I know you've talked to people since this came down. I know that you've had a chance to look over this stuff. What is your feeling on this news that came down this week?
Well, it's definitely, I think, I don't know if I say guardrails. I think what I would say is more of a kind of leveled off playing field. Now, the question's going to be, and I'm not saying like a level playing field for Georgia versus USC. I'm talking about a playing field between Vanderbilt, Virginia Tech, Georgia, Florida. Everybody's got roughly $13.5 million to spend on your football team. Your university, should you elect, and most of these schools, Power Fours, are going to elect to use that much. You're all going to have $13.5 million, roughly that number, to spend on your football team. Now, the gray area, and something that Deloitte, we're going to find out pretty quickly, Jake, if Deloitte has some, I would say, merit behind it. Don't worry about three or four Twitter lawyers and those guys that give you, you know, that give you their opinion, okay? This has been on the NCAA side. There's a lot of attorneys involved on their guys. So you're going to see, you know, how this thing is, this thing actually going to work in this gray area. Jake, you've been doing this long enough to know that every school is looking, going, what's the gray area? What's the line we can get? How can we bend this number? Because if you give everybody $13.5 million and you give everybody a standard that is there's no gray area in there. This is how it's going to be. I can't tell you how good a news that is for Georgia, because what Georgia's done and produced and developed, right, and what they've done under Kirby Smart, I'll be honest with you, we don't have to BS it. The guys, they've been beat on, they've been outbid on. You know what I mean? The teams that Georgia have been in the final two for, I haven't had a lot of those conversations where they go, you know what, I just decided to go here. It's always been that, but Georgia had a limit, but we'll see. But if this thing is a level playing field, I would say, and the NIL Deloitte committee has a little gray area, that's really good news for Georgia, because they're going to win a lot more battles than they have, you know, and they don't lose many. Let's don't get crazy with it, but they've lost three or four that we could talk about for another month in the last, I would say, 12-month calendar that normally I think Georgia would have gotten. But they've won a lot of battle. But you give Georgia a little bit more of a level playing field, they've got a lot better sale of what their product is on the field and what they're doing, developing kids in NFL, than just about anybody.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I'm curious, Rusty, though, in the coaches that you've spoken to regarding this thing, is there a sense of relief? Are people happy that this, or is everybody just saying, let's wait and see how this goes?
Caution. Now they all feel, and this is not just coaches at Georgia, this is multiple schools. Everybody is kind of breathing a sigh of relief a little bit that, hey, this is actually out there. Now it's in somebody else's hands. You know what I mean? Like if School X is going to sign Jake Roos and Georgia offers them in the same neighborhood as this school, and all of a sudden you have another school that comes in and offers triple of what anybody does. If that school offers triple of what anybody else does, that's supposed to come out of their cap. So if you pay this much money for that position, then you got this less money to build this roster with. So, you know, it gets into the NFL general manager stuff. Can you do, you know, I see Josh Armstrong, and I appreciate him saying that he's read into some of the stuff. And
he said, more, you know, than his grad school thesis.
Yeah. It says his court docs refer to the NIL contracts must fall within a reasonable range. Okay, Josh, I agree with that, but I made this note on the board yesterday, and it's a little different. But if you take a Caitlin Clark, just for example, someone that got extremely hot in the world of sports, Caitlin Clark in January of her junior year wasn't worth anywhere near what Caitlin Clark was at the end of her. But that's NIL value. That's name, image, likeness. That's not a high school kid that had a great senior year, and all of a sudden he's worth X amount. So there's two totally different scenarios there. I think the guardrails there are kind of up. You know what? Somebody told me that, and let's just say that Rusty Mansell owns, I own the Masters. I own Augusta. Well, I give to the University of Georgia. I'm a season ticket holder. I'm a booster. I can't go out and pay Oscar Delp $5 million to represent the Masters because I'm tied to the University of Georgia. So what's the fair market value? What have you done in the past? Have you advertised anybody? And what did you pay that person that wasn't going to Georgia? So supposedly that's how deep they're going. So you're not going to take a brand. I don't take a brand Nike and say you can pay this guy X amount of money to go to your school. We'll see. But that's supposedly how deep this thing is supposedly, how tight this ship is supposed to be ran.
You say how deep this is going to go. I'm looking at this from the fan perspective, and this has been on my mind the whole time. Folks are going to be saying, where did these Deloitte accountants go to school? Was this a Michigan grad? Was this guy? I mean, it's kind of like the college football playoff committee, right? Everybody evaluates it from that aspect. It's going to be interesting to see how those rulings play themselves out. Now, look, I am of the mind that you probably couldn't have found a more reasonable person to evaluate market value than Deloitte. I don't know that there's a more qualified company out there that could have aligned themselves alongside the NCAA than Deloitte. Yep. So you've got the best of the best in that regard. It's just going to be interesting what gets passed and what doesn't. And then obviously there's probably going to be some lawyering up to this. However, the fact that all of the schools have kind of come on board with this seems significant. And the fact that Greg Sankey kind of went to Tennessee and said, hey, look, get on board or get out.
Play by our rules or you're out.
Exactly. And so there is that aspect of it. I think that by and large, the majority of schools and coaches want to have some sanity to this, regardless of, I mean, everybody, like you said, if you're not looking for the gray area, you're not trying, right?
That's right.
That's the mentality everybody takes. But to kind of bring this back to a level of parity and to say, look, can we get, yes, we want to pay these guys. Yes, we understand that they're worth money, but can we get this back to a sense of guys picking what makes sense for them? Where's a good fit? Where are they going to be developed? Where would a kid love to go? I saw a statistic the other day, and it was on Twitter, and you'll have to forgive me, but it was saying something about the effect of transferring, and it was how many elite recruits kind of knocked them, didn't become first-round picks, and there was a tie-in with the transfer. It was saying that the percentages of guys who transferred were much lower in first-round picks than guys who didn't. Things like that are very, very, are going to be very, very interesting. Now, Josh over here bringing up, I can tell Josh, you've spent some nights on this. So he said,
we should have brought Josh in today. We should have brought Josh in line today.
we need to Skype Josh in for the full class. He says, based on court documents, there's no way Mark Bowman's going to get $8 million over 3 years. The NIL value is not there. And how would USC let a freshman tight end eat up $2.25 million per year on their roster cap? Rusty.
Can I ask a question to Josh?
Yeah.
What if his contract was signed last week? So is that legal? I don't know. But that contract for Mark Bowman, if that was signed last week, that's way ahead of this decision. So you see why there was some pressure for you to sign that contract then and not take any more visits. And so I get it, Josh. I understand that side, and I know – that the side that people want to look at, but don't think for 1 minute that USC wasn't thinking gray area too and thinking, let's get this thing done and be done with it. You know, I've had colleges tell kids, this is not Mark Bowman, but I've had colleges tell kids, you cannot legally take that offer from that school. There's no way they're going to be, when this thing goes down, a year from now, when you enter school, they can come right back and say, look, I'm sorry, that contract's null and void. We can't honor that because of this ruling. So some schools are trying to say, listen, we're going to offer you X amount, and we can pay you X amount in January of 26. When you're on campus, you're going to have the same contract. But if a school's telling you in June of 25, they're going to pay you this amount, as soon as you get to campus, they can say, look, that's null and void. I'm sorry. We tried, but this is – so that's the other side of what schools are telling kids. So we're all going to find out together. Again, I do think the original question is, we do have some structure, and I think the question is going to be, who's going to file the suits first? Who's going to test a gray area? And what is the NCAA? How are they going to be able to stand on? Who's going to back them? Those are questions to me that are yet to be determined. But there's some schools, I'm telling you, there's some schools that have been in these meetings that have told me personally, this is going to work with Deloitte, the way it's working. They're saying it's like you're in or you're out, kind of how they Sankey did with Tennessee, this rule in state, you know, so we're going to see all this, but there are schools that believe that this is going to work and this is going to kind of even the playing field for everyone. We'll see.
Hunter Lacey with a prediction. He says, I can tell you who will sue first, USC or Miami.
I got a buddy in Vegas right now. We should call out there and say, hey, look, can you get a line on that? Will you go to Caesars and ask who will be the first school to sue over the new rev share?
Josh here with another good comment. And this is what I think. He said, I think that's going to happen a lot. I think some of the 26 deals get grandfathered because they got done quick, but I think 27 will be way different. I think we have to evaluate this whole thing from 27. To me, 26 is, it's a mishmash. At this point, it's a mishmash of rules, right? You're going to be playing with contracts, but also the settlement with da, 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 da. So it's going to kind of take till the next cycle, really, for this thing to kind of see how it looks in practice.
It'll also settle by then, because if you think about these kids that have signed now or verbally agreed to sign, whatever, once they get here in January to these schools, are they really getting that? Did those teams stick to that contract? Is somebody going to be in lawsuits, or are they going to say, look, we've been through 16 months of the rev share. Now we know what the 27 class is going to make, and we know there's no gray area. This is exactly what you're going to get paid. And this is where we go. We don't have time to dig into, and I don't want to get anybody's the other part, but you, God knows, you hadn't talked about the portal money.
Oh yeah.
And what do you have to save? Because you can do all this in your 26 class, but oh, by the way, on this shelf, it's your starters you're trying to buy.
That's right. And suddenly my market value, you know,
no doubt.
And really, Rusty, based on everything we know, that's the way Georgia's been playing this thing most 100% of the time throughout this, right?
So let me tell you something, 100%.
This to be the model. They seemingly have moved from a place where they were kind of prescient in this and said, hey, this could be what's coming down the tracks. Okay, we'll be ready. So from that perspective, yes, I agree with you. But yeah, that your real market value comes when you're a junior, right? And you're a projected second round pick, and we need you back next year. Your number just got a lot higher.
Do you remember how quiet it was in May with George in a portal? It wasn't because everybody was just so damn happy with that new indoor. Let me tell you something. Georgia was very aggressive and maintaining their roster. And something that, you know, you don't get enough credit for. You know what I mean? Georgia didn't have kids leave. They're 3, 4, 5. There's six or seven kids at Georgia that got freaking paid. They just got paid on that roster. And trust me, you know, that's part of it. And Kirby Smart and those guys did a hell of a job keeping those guys. You never heard anything about it. And, you know, when an agent calls up and says, hey, you know, so-and-so here is hearing from so-and-so, like I got people calling me on him. And Georgia, you know, for the most part, redid a lot of deals. So that's the way Georgia's operated. If you're starting at Georgia, or if you're a key piece, and you put in some time, you're getting freaking paid. And that's exactly what they're showing those recruits. That's exactly what they're showing those recruits. What are you doing if you're starting here? How much money are you making? And that's a pretty significant recruiting tool.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I got a little more on this, Rusty. I do want to do a little bit more, but I do want to shout out some friends of ours real quick. Speaking of money, if you want to save some money, you can do that with code DOGSHQ20 over at Sunheist. Sunheist, a great brand, great sunglasses. Look, everybody knows you're out on the lake. You're gearing up for the 4th. You're drinking beers over the grill. You need a good pair of shades, man. You stepped on yours. They're ratty. They're old. Get over, check out Sunheist, man. They've got free standard U.S. shipping on $65 or more, 20% off with code DOGSHQ20, free returns. They ship in 2 to 4 days. They're going to be there quick. Lifetime warranty on the frame, super lightweight, and they have a variety of styles to choose from. So they stand behind their product. The customer service is excellent. So whether you're hiking, whether you're hanging on the lake, whether you're doing whatever you do, these are the sunglasses that fit every lifestyle. They're also locally based. They're out of Jefferson, up there just outside of Athens. So they're out of dog country, man. They know the state inside and out. They love the Peach State. And they love supporting the Peach State. They give back in a number of ways. So it's a community building company as well. So they're giving back to the state. You can buy a locally made product, support local entrepreneurs, and get a great pair of shades for a great price in the process. Nothing not to like about that. Get over to sunheist.com, use code DOGSHQ20, and get your 20% off right now. Rusty, my second thing on this that we didn't get to, we talked about some of the nuance of this, some of the in and out. Does this, in your mind, because it's going to be the big question and has been the big question on the message boards, Does this shake something up in the 2026 class where Georgia's concerned for some of these big names? Obviously, people want to know, does this affect Jackson Cantwell? Does it affect Mark Bowman? We may see if those deals are grandfathered in, but this has people wondering, is the door cracked a bit for some schools to kind of get back in and try to make another run?
That's to be determined. You know what I mean? I don't know that we know about these deals quite yet, how they're going to work out. I think a lot of people want to anticipate that. But here's the thing. I would imagine the schools recruiting against those schools have said, this is what's going to happen. And the schools that signed those kids are going, don't worry about it. It's not an issue. So if you get into a problem and you get into something, I would say maybe in you get past this July 1st, you get into the football season and, you know, some lawsuits or some typical things have went down at that point. You look at that and you go, we told you, or the other school goes, we told you there was nothing wrong. I tend to lean a little bit more about what Josh has said here about the 27 class. I think we're going to see things filter out.
Yeah.
And, that's for me is the way, I think you kind of look, it's not going to be something like one of those kids that Georgia recruiter is going to immediately decommit. I can assure you that there were conversations had, like, you can't legal, they're not going to be able to legally pay you like this through that scenario. Maybe they will, you know what I mean? And maybe something goes down a little bit later because you get into December and you get cold feet because the school says, wait a minute, we're going to give you this first deposit, when you get here. And wait a minute, that's not what we agreed upon. Well, you know, just get here and we'll get you this. No, that's not what we agreed upon. Things like that, I would imagine that time frame. You know, I don't know how legal all this is. I really don't. But, you know, Kirby Smart made the comment that kids were getting paid $20,000 for their current commit. Example, up to $20,000. I've heard that from other schools. I haven't heard that number, but, you know, where are we going to be in December with schools and kids that decommit and owe money? You know, come back and try to get that.
Oh, so, yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen there.
I expect there's still some bloodletting to be done. I think that we are going to probably see maybe some dark side of all of this. Some guys that may have been told things that weren't.
That's another thing. Yeah. And I've also been told that some of these deposits for some of these kids are going to hit June 30th. So when push comes to shove, if your deposit doesn't hit on June the 30th before this July 1st date, what does that do for kids?
Sure.
You know what I mean? That could be, there could be, it could be a, you know, you look at the scheduled season of commitments in June. We got a lot of announcements coming in July. And, but will we have a lot of decommitments in July because that actual bonus, quote unquote, didn't hit on June 30th. There's a lot going on behind the scenes, and, you know, I'm not saying something's going to happen in the way, but there's a lot to be determined with this. I think the biggest picture with this, Roos, is the gray area. What is the gray area in this? Some schools think that Deloitte is going to be able to handle this. I mean, I have talked to multiple schools that are very, very confident in that, but there's some schools that go, they got zero chance of this helping.
Yeah, the thing that's really interesting to me, too, is to see, because let's call it what it is. No, not everybody is going to play by these rules. Some people are going
to
figure these things out. You know, yep. I said for a long time, once they figured out guardrails, that it would kind of go back to what we had in the past, which was come swing by and let grandma swing by the dealership and we'll see what we can do. But to me, the punishment of that is what's interesting. How do you handle a team that goes outside of this? Because that's going to be compelling. Are we talking about sanctions like SMU sanctions, or is it slap on the wrist and, you know, 3 years down the road, we're vacating wins and no one cares?
somebody told him, now we'll have to go back and read this, but that's another thing about it. If you get caught outside of the lines here, like it's bowl bans, it's playoff, you're out of, you know, playoff, like that. Supposedly now this is that's where they think there's some backbone to this. I'm going to have to see it. I'm going to have to see them say, hey, just for example, I'm going to have to see them say, Texas A&M, you're out.
Yeah.
You got caught. You're out. You're out this year. Your season's done. And, you know, we'll see. But that is, there's a lot behind it. I'm, you know, I can't get into those conversations, but I'm actually surprised at the amount of schools behind the scenes that feel like this Deloitte, if everything they have been told in these meetings, in Indianapolis, in the SEC meetings, in the NCAA meetings, in the Big 12 meetings and all that, if everything is going to happen the way they supposedly is going to happen, then they're pretty confident in this system right now.
Well, I'm happy to hear that.
We'll see.
Yeah, no, it's all we'll see. It's all we'll see. But speaking of seeing, the Dogs saw several top visitors on campus this past weekend, Rusty. This was a huge one for them. We talked about it kind of going in. Would it be a big one? Would it not? It ended up being a pretty marquee weekend. Savion Hyder, nation's number one running back, five-star at the position. He was in town this weekend. Akane Ogboko, P.J. Dean, Chauncey Kinnon. I'm just curious, Rusty, any buzz we're kind of hearing off of this one? Obviously, the last weekend, very, very substantial. You get Carter Lucky. You get Justice Fitzpatrick. This was a loaded group. And I said what I think is very interesting, and this is not just Georgia-specific, but Georgia had the chance to do this, is this ruling comes down. You've got these kids on campus. You get to be the first one to explain to them, here's how this is going to work.
Yeah, it's kind of in conversation. You say, hey, you remember when we were all going on vacation for 2 weeks to Hawaii? We're not really going there, but but we're going to go four days, three nights to Jamaica. You know what I mean? It's still going to be nice, but we're not going for 2 weeks to Hawaii. I'm sorry to tell you. You know, it's kind of – that's kind of the message they got to deliver, you know? Again, you know, if I'm one of those schools, I'm telling these guys, look, this is not going to work. We're going to be able to pay you this amount of money. If I'm Georgia, okay, we're going to operate with this budget, and this is what we're offering you, and it's a lot of money, but this is what we're going to pay you. There's no going back. When you get to Georgia, this is exactly what we're going to pay you. You're going to know right now. There's not going to be any, you know, messing around when you get here and saying this contract's null and void. So it's that's interesting, though. Yeah, you know, these visits are finishing up, and we're trying to get a little bit of buzz, you know, out of this and trying to figure out who, what, when, where. It's so different now covering OVs. Now you have to say, okay, what was the OV like? Who did they bring with them? Because sometimes kids just bring their high school coach and their cousin, and 9 times out of 10, you're not getting that one. Are they bringing mom and dad? Are they bringing grandmother? Is aunt and uncle coming? That type of thing. That's when you know that's the first sign for me. Then you start having to, as a network, rely on people to say, is Georgia going to be in the ballpark here on this kid? You know, and where's this thing at? And that's when you're trying to put the pieces of the puzzle together. And we'll see. But, you know, Georgia's sitting here. I know that they've missed on a couple of kids, and that really wears on people. But I look at it and I go, guys, they're like the fifth ranked recruiting class in the country right now. You know what I mean? Like they're gonna be fine. Now you want to hit on those last couple that you're really dug in on. And here's another thing: I don't know the number. Like, what's the number now that they know where the roster is? 100%. They know what the roster number is. What are they gonna do? That's something we'll learn too. That's something I'm going to try to figure out this week, talking to people, like, kind of, what are you thinking? Is this going to be a typical 25, 26 class, or is this going to be a 20 class? And you're going to say 4, 5, 6 for the portal. You know, I don't know those questions.
Yeah, no doubt. Those numbers are, it's like everything else, man. We're just we're building the airplane while it's flying at this point.
Yeah.
You know, I'm curious though, Rusty, looking back on the names this weekend, and like you said, we'll have buzz to come on some of these guys that are wrapping things up. But I'm just curious, anybody that kind of jumps out to you as, you know, so for example, one of the guys that Jeremy Johnson already got a story up with, Braden Fogle. Seems like Georgia looking pretty nice coming off of this one. Zach Lewis, another guy that had a nice visit. I'm curious though, is there anybody out of this weekend that you really kind of want to get the read on and say, because to me, these are the big weekends to kind of figure that out. Are we really in this, or are you taking visits for fun?
I think Savion Hyder would be the one. I think that this is the timing for this, running back wise. I know the young man is not doing interviews, and you know what? That's his right, and I fully get it. But we also have a job to do as a network, and we piece information together from a lot of different angles, a lot of different sources. According to those sources, and a lot of people that I trust to say that right now that Michigan and Tennessee are kind of the two teams behind the scenes, that they're offering a lot for this young man. And Georgia gets him in this weekend. It's a kid that's been down a lot now. This kid from Virginia, he's been down to Athens a lot over the last year and a half. He's a huge running back target for them. What were those conversations this weekend when this ruling came down Friday night? What were they able to sit down and say, look, this is RBU. I mean, yeah, you know, this is, there's a reason why we got NFL guys. And I saw Nick Chubb expecting now to sign with Houston, and thank goodness on that. I'm glad he's going to somewhere. He's got a chance to win. And yeah. I told him the other day, I tried to get some scoop out of Nick. I said, hey man, what's going on? Not much. He don't want to say, he don't want to say much. I just said, Nick, wherever you go, man, please get a chance for a ring. And, maybe he will, but that Houston team is pretty good. So congratulations to him. I saw you guys. I had a bunch of tweets and stuff pop up on my phone. But getting back to RBU, you say, you know, Hyder's getting very expensive. Okay, if that's the case, I don't know if I'm Georgia, I'm spending a ton of money on a running back. If I've got X amount, that's not going to be, to me, I'm the NFL model. That's not going to be a premium overspend position.
I'm taking two guys that I get for that way I've got bodies. All right. That's what I need, because I need bodies. Yeah. I can't have one, you know, one Ferrari, and then when the when it needs its oil changed, I'm out of options. So
I agree. You know, also I think the emergence of Bo Walker probably makes them feel a lot better. Sure. You know what I mean? Like, you look at a guy and he put a few guys in the portal. I can promise you that, in that class. And this is a freshman, and they've got some guys there. You know, Jay Lamar's obviously a target. You look at some other guys. I'm not saying they're out on Hyder, but I'm saying that conversation, they probably had a real conversation with him this weekend. And I don't know that you can really, like, overspend on a running back in this type of structure. You can get one, but typically that's not what Georgia's trying to get two in this class. And so we'll see with our, but it's going to be, you know, I would imagine their market's going to be quarterback, tackle, and DN and D-line, like it has been. And that's kind of the NFL model. Absolutely. If you're going to have a certain, you know, budget, that's kind of the premium positions. They've got their quarterback now, and you know, they've made a really competitive offer for him and got him. And they're working on some other guys.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Guys, look, if you're looking to get competitive in your market, or you're trying to find a new market to get into, myperfectfranchise.net, the place to go. Andy Ludeke and the team over there going to set you up with an opportunity to explore a number of different franchises. And don't think of a franchise as just running a McDonald's. Right? I mean, that's an opportunity as well, but there are a ton of ways to do this. There are a ton of opportunities in the franchise world, a number of different industries that franchise, and that's their job, is to connect one to you that makes sense. They run a thorough evaluation process. They consult with you throughout it. And best of all, they're paid by the franchises to bring in new members. So it's free to you, their services. Get over, check out myperfectfranchise.net. Andy Ludeke and the team over there, they'll get you hooked up. Take your life and career into your own hands with myperfectfranchise.net.
just got a text from our guy, Jeremy Johnson. He says that he has talked with people in Savion Hyder's circle, and he is still in Athens. He is still in Athens today, and he will leave in the morning. And so that visit is still ongoing, and we'll have some stuff on that. So that's kind of interesting there with that. But I see Chancellor Campbell is a guy that Georgia had on campus last weekend, offensive tackle out of South Florida. Big 6'8 kid, really raw player. Just kind of just came out of nowhere kind of this spring. You know, as one of the guys, you know, just didn't really feel a whole lot of buzz around Georgia with him, kind of, you know, did bring him in. I thought Florida was a team that, that kind of was kind of the guy team behind the scenes. And again, I don't think it's a great tackle class. I think there's some guys there, but you know, you look at Oboko and that, you know, I put on the board today, Malachi Lee. I mean, those guys are, you need to get one of those because there's not many. You know what I mean? Like if you can get a, like a quote unquote headliner and then three or four guys with it that, that you really like, that's going to be a win there. And I think they're in that boat at linebacker. I really do. I think if you go get a Tyler Atkinson, you know, and you get a couple guys with him, or you get a Nick Abrams, and you get a couple guys with him. I mean, it's, I don't know that you're going to stack three of those guys in that room. Because of the budget and how things – you're starting to see how things are unfolding because that's the way Georgia has operated. They have operated on we're going to have a basically a salary cap, and this is what we've got to spend. So I think that's what – I think that's probably how they've been doing it, and now it doesn't surprise me that Kirby Smart seems to be one or two steps ahead, but they've got some big boy decisions because you're not going to go out and sign – 3 5 stars at offensive tackle anymore. You're not going to do that. You can't do it.
Yeah. It's not really an option. Rusty, another big weekend coming up. We'll dive into it later in the week, but obviously headlined by Jared Curtis. We don't expect Mark Bowman to make this visit. I don't as of right now.
You're not, he ain't coming to town. I promise you that.
We'll see how things play out later down the line. He's one of those guys. Man. Garrett Cooper expected in town this weekend. Very big visit for him.
Big one.
Vance Spapp.
That's one to watch because – he comes to Athens next weekend, and then he's got that trip to Miami last. And, you know, talking to our Chad Simmons for a while, Chad's like, that's the one you got to watch. You know, the Miami's really competitive there now. Mark Bowman's at, you know, USC, obviously trying to recruit him to stay with him out there. But it's a big weekend for that visit there.
Yeah, we've got Landon Barnes coming in, 4-star guy, Zach Fort. These Clemson guys, be interested to see if they make it. Clemson guys typically don't. It's a little different world. CJ Hester, a guy who we heard some buzz about at one point. He was looking pretty hard at Georgia. Brody Jennings, who I believe is still committed to Michigan. Yes. Brett Colajay, who it feels like is a guy that Georgia may be in it a little bit more behind the scenes with than he's getting credit. Kedrick Golston, set to be on campus this weekend. You've got Dylan Cope, who is a wide receiver that I do think people should pay attention to. Big bodied guy out of Hewitt Trustville, has had some glowing things to say. And then Mr. Mystery over there in the corner, got no picture, got no ranking. Oh, but he's 6'6", he's 260. His name's Corey Howard out of Valdosta. And if you don't know him, get to know him because he is a dude, man. Listen, I'm telling you. This is a big one, Rusty. This is a big weekend. Yeah. And quite frankly, this to me feels like that weekend. We get one of these a year over the last couple of years where some guys sneak in. Some guys come in that you never did expect, right? And it's Jared Curtis weekend in
Athens. Jared Curtis weekend in Athens, no question.
And I think that there's a chance that we see that once again. But I'm curious, out of that list, anybody that really jumps off the page to you? I mean, Corey Howard grabs me right off of the rip. Derek Cooper, I feel like coming off the Savion Hyder visit, you may have a chance to pitch him. Hey, you're number one, man. We got to have you. Vance Spafford, can you hold on to it?
You know, I think Derek Cooper, obviously the other guy, you know, for a long time, Georgia basically was in on Savion Hyder and him and recruiting some others, but all you heard was Derek Cooper and Savion Hyder. Mm-hmm. It'll be big. I think Georgia have a lot better, obviously they're going to have a lot better kind of understanding where they are with Savion Hyder. you know, after this weekend. But Derek Cooper's a the guy they've been on him for a while, and he's made made a lot of visits there. And you know, I think Josh makes a point there. Yep. I remember he committed, and his mom DM'd and said, "Hey, he's not committed." I was like, okay. And that was, you know, he's a young man. You know what I mean? Like, he got caught up in a moment. Mom DM's like, "He ain't committed right now. Yeah. He likes Georgia, but he ain't committed." We're like, "Yes, ma'am. We'll take that off." So, but he's been up a lot. But anytime you have the number one quarterback in America and Jared Curtis, that's going to be a big deal. Corey Howard, yeah, we'll get something with him this weekend. Seven Cloud was here this weekend, the JUCO nose guard, JUCO defense tackle out of Butler. You know, everything I hear on that is he was at Georgia last weekend. Then he comes back this weekend for his OV. I know everybody's on this kid, but supposedly this is everything I've heard. He is locked in with Georgia. I mean, this is a kid. He's a Georgia Bulldog fan. I think Georgia has stuck with him through some crazy stuff in this young man's life, you know, basically almost homeless at one point, not even enrolled in a high school anywhere for a while, and just went through a lot, man. But I am super, super happy for this young man and where he is right now. And I can't even imagine what he felt this weekend, actually being at Georgia on an OV, you know, thinking, you know, like I'm here. You know what I mean? So yeah, we'll catch up with him this week. But sounds good with him. I know people got panicked when he signed with Drew Rosenhaus, but I have to remind people, Drew Rosenhaus had Michael Williams. Drew Rosenhaus had Malachi Starks. I think Drew Williams might have C.J. Allen, I think, one of those players. Okay. So he's got several Georgia players. He's got several Georgia and has had several Georgia players.
Yeah, to me, look, if the numbers are what the numbers are, we're playing with the salary cap. Seven Cloud is a guy that you spend a chunk on, okay? Because you've got proven production, you got proven size. He's doing it at the college level. So as far as competitive offers go, I expect Georgia to be quite competitive in that one. And like you said, there's a number of other factors drawing him in. Guys, look, another big week over at Dogs HQ. We got visit recaps coming for you. We'll have intel coming all week. Another big weekend next weekend. With Jared Curtis headed into town. Maybe, like I said, some sneaky visitors kind of sliding in there. I bet Rusty's Ramblings will have a little bit on that for you at some point this week. Man, so,
I got a golf tournament in Athens next weekend. So the report's probably gonna be how many balls am I gonna lose next weekend?
Stay tuned over at Dogs HQ. Get over, hang out with us on the Dog Walk message board. We'll be back with you later this week as well. And we look forward to it. Have a great rest of your week. We'll see you soon.